So praise the Lord, we're getting ready to do our offering today. And so the offering comes from John, and I want to thank Pastor Bevo and Janet for bringing up the offering basket. And I'll try to make this as quick as I can, but it's kind of hard to do because the story actually evolves from a lady named Martha. So you know about Mary and Martha and their sisters. And so Jesus is coming to Mary and Martha's house. Martha meets Jesus out on the road and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." So Martha's character hasn't changed much through the years. She's always kind of a busybody, and she's always wanting to blame somebody for something that's actually not their fault. And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection." Say that with me. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live." So praise the Lord. That's good news. That's what the songs are about. That's what the scripture is about. That's what the church is about. That's what life is about, that Jesus conquered the grave. Now listen to this. Here's your part. I heard Billy Graham preach a message something like this. We have a responsibility. So here's your responsibility. I'll give this to you, and then we'll pray for the offering. Right after that, he says, "And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Here's the question. Do you believe this? So I know I do, and I know the fellow brothers and sisters here at church believe that. And for that person, the new person that just clicked in, I'm going to ask you, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He has given his whole life at the cross at Calvary. He has conquered the grave for us, and he asked that you would make him your Lord and your Savior this morning. So praise God for that. We're going to lift the offering up as Jesus has given. We want to give back to him what is rightfully his. So Father God, we pray that you have blessed us to be the stewards and the managers of different things, homes and cars and society and finances. And we want to give you back a portion of what you have given us full responsibility to take care of. We pray that this offering would be the best resurrection offering we've ever had. And we ask that you be glorified through it. In thy name of Jesus, amen. All right, guys, so however you give, thank you for the Legionnaire family. However you give, and I didn't mention this last night. Let me mention this. So it's 314-714-6555 or hbwt.org. You can give online, and there's so many ways. And you guys have been doing a great job, so we appreciate that. And I think you would agree that there's never been a more prevalent time that the church stand with its light on and continue to preach the truth and continue to preach the gospel. You know who all you guys are out there that are doing that for the Lord. And I want to thank you. And for all you people that were sharing that you were out there praising the Lord this morning, even in the midst of the rain, it was awesome. So I was blessed to be part of that. So I was with you, and that's just kind of a cool thing that we did. So praise the Lord for that. All right. So let's talk about the resurrection service here. And today it'll come from Matthew chapter 27, and we'll start in verse 32. And I'll kind of bring I've often told people when I'm doing the Easter services and all that, we start way back in the triumphant entry. We start our Easter mode, if you will, resurrection mode, when Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. And then we talk about what's going on Monday, and then Pastor Aaron talked about what's going on Tuesday, and then I did Wednesday. Pastor Bevo talked about Thursday, talked about the Lord's Supper and all this kind of thing. It was awesome. And then we had a Good Friday service, and I did Good Friday service out of Luke. Today we're going to go back into Matthew, and it's kind of a neat place to be. It kind of flows all the way to the resurrection, so that's kind of what I chose. Either way, you can't go wrong regardless of what gospel you choose to preach out of or do a devotion for. So I hope today, let's do this. So let's believe together that through the resurrected Jesus Christ, we'll be able to beat the pandemic out there that has plagued so many of us today. Would you do that with me? Amen. And let's pray for the word to touch hearts today. So Father God, we lift the word up to you. today and pray that its truths would pierce even the crustiest heart, Lord God, and bring new life to these families that are watching today. And for the first time, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're a first-time watcher out there, let somebody know. We want to invite you into our family. We're glad that you're here. We know it's probably not the greatest conditions, and some of you guys are going through some things, and we want to go through them with you. And we can't necessarily be with you in the physical sense, but we can in spirit, and surely through live stream and Facebook. So praise God for the technology that we do have, and we're going to use it for God's glory. How about that? Okay, so let's jump kind of right here in the middle, and I'll explain in 27:32 in Matthew. It says, as they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. So this, they get this guy to carry Jesus' cross up to the hill, which is called Golgotha, or we call it Calvary. And Jesus was beaten so bad. He was scourged so bad. So have some of you guys seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ? And it's played out there a lot. And my daughter just sent me a video about C.M. Lockridge, and he talks about My King and all this. Man, that stuff is good stuff. That's the stuff we need to be sharing. The Passion of the Christ, biblical scriptures, that stuff about from C.M. Lockridge, Christ is My King. Man, that gets me charged up. You need to play that after service, and I think that's what it's called. I think it's C.M. Lockridge. He's a preacher, and he talks about all the different things that Jesus is to him, and I think it's one of the most awesome things I've ever heard a preacher say. I think it's phenomenal. It says, they went to the place called Golgotha, which means a place of the skull, and they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he could not drink it. And when they crucified him, they divided up his garments among them by casting lots. So here's what I find very despicable. It's a great love story about God's love for his people. And here at the end, they finally get their way. They crucify the king. And underneath, right there at the cross, they're dividing up his garments. And this was a prophecy that was going to happen out of the book of Psalms. I think it's in the 22nd chapter that the psalmist wrote that they were going to be dividing up Jesus' garments. And, man, I find that not only ironic, but like I said, kind of despicable that these human beings would go through crucifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and at the end taking everything that he has, even his clothes. And just, it really messes with my heart a little bit this morning. And I think about that, and we often think, oh, them guys are really evil, but you think of how was your heart before God delivered you from evil? You know, here's the thing. Somebody doesn't deserve God's wrath any more than we do. I know that we as believers, we kind of look sometimes down at our nose at people that aren't born again and think, God, your judgment's going to fall on them, or shouldn't your judgment fall on them, or, yeah, you're finally going to get them. Well, what would have happened if somebody would have thought that about us or go, God, why don't you strike him down, or why didn't you strike Pastor Pat down and all this kind of stuff? And the only reason is not because I have a righteousness of my own, but because God's grace is sufficient in our weakest of times. And do we all deserve God's wrath? Absolutely. But the love of Jesus Christ rises up and saves souls who want to be saved. So I ask this question before we get going too far. Would you like to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? And I hope today that your answer is yes. Let's keep going. So they're under the cross there. He's hanging at the cross. He's between two thieves. We've talked about that on Good Friday service. I talked about that. Jesus always being in the middle of a mess, and he's right here in the middle of our mess here in America and across the world. And then they sat down and they kept watch over him, and there over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And this was in three different languages, in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And then the two robbers, I'm in verse 38, then the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself if you are the Son of God and come down from the cross." Now, let me pause there in verse 40, and I talk to you about this. So we know that there's two robbers, or let's just call them two criminals, one on each side of Jesus when he's hung on the cross, and he's right there in the middle of, he didn't deserve to be there, but he was there to pay the ransom for the guys that were getting ready to die and for you and for I. One guy was very proud, and he scoffed at Jesus, and he said, "Well, if you're the Christ," he says, "save yourself," or "save me and save yourself," kind of with that attitude. Let me tell you something. Attitudes don't go very far with Jesus. What goes far with Jesus is your belief in your heart and your confession with your mouth. And as a matter of fact, Romans chapter 10 tells us we have to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there's something very powerful in our confession and in our words. I want to challenge you today to make sure the words that you're speaking and that the words that you're saying and that the words that are rolling off your lips glorify the Lord. And I was just talking to this to my family last night. Eventually, we want everything that we say and everything that we do saturate our lips would be with Jesus Christ. Amen. And let's train ourselves through the Word of God and through biblical music and stuff like that. I believe we're going to get out of this through worship and through the Word. We're going to get the worship up there. So you need to be celebrating. You need to be worshiping the Lord and drive back the spirit of sickness and drive back the spirit of despair, the spirit of depression by playing godly music in your house. And it needs to start today. Can I get an amen from the church? And it's your responsibility. That's your responsibility. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. You make the decision on what's going to go on in your house. You need to be playing Christian music, and you need to be doing things that glorify the Lord, and you need to be reading your Bibles the same as I do. That's the same thing for me and the same thing for you. If we want to get out of this mess, we have to follow the Word of God. Amen. I'm pretty excited about the resurrection today because I believe it's the only force in the world that's gonna get us out of the sickness and the pestilence that has plagued our land so much. Verse 41 back there in Matthew chapter 27, it says, "So also the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocked him." So here we go with the mocking. So, and I think in our society today, we've had enough of mocking the Lord, and maybe it's time that we get back Christ in our schools and Christ in our government and Christ in our social circus, Christ in the media, Christ on TV. And I've asked you before, what kind of TV stations do you watch? What kind of movies do you watch? Do they glorify the Lord? Or are they just riddled with profanity and promiscuity? I ask you. And there's no place for any of that type of behavior in this kind of stuff in a believer's life. Yeah, we're living in this earth, but we're not of it. All right, so they're mocking him. We know that theme kind of runs through the whole Bible. Verse 42 says he saved others. He cannot save himself. Who in the right mind would say that right in front of Jesus? That's somebody that's got a pretty much of a proud spirit. And I've told you about pride before. That's the one sin that God won't deal with. If you're too proud to come to Jesus, you probably won't come to him. That's where he'll leave you. He'll go, "You know what? Those people are so proud. They're so arrogant. I'm going to leave them right where they're at. And if they decide to come, it needs to be on their own merit." Amen. Let's get rid of our pride and admit that we need Jesus, for heaven's sakes. Are you telling me right now in this world, the people that got to stay at home and the people and all these things that are happening, are we too proud to go, "You know what? God, we have finally realized, we have finally given up. And we know that the only way it's going to work is your way." We can't be too proud to say that, because when we say that, and Scripture will tell us that, when we say that, then he'll come and then he'll heal our land. The way that we've been living hasn't been working so far is all I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. Okay, it starts to get more and more interesting here, so listen to this, guys. He trusts in God, verse 43. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now. We know that God's going to do that because we've read the story. If he desires him, for he said, I am the Son of God, and the robbers were crucified with him also who rivaled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, so this was about noon, there was darkness over the whole land until three. Well, or ninth hour, it says. So for about 3 hours, can you imagine that there was no sun, moon, or star? It was just darkness that plagued the land. And I believe that this is when Jesus dealt with the sin of the world. And some people say that this is when he took all the sin. No, I believe that this is when he dealt with the sin. Because we know in the Bible said that Jesus had no sin. And then in the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, ela sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So even Jesus in his final hour, or if you're reading John 19:30, he would say, it is finished. Jesus in his human form is saying, my God, why did you turn your back on me? He goes, all this sin and all this stuff is going on is so tough right now. And he even talked about that in the Garden of Gethsemane. And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. Because we believe that, our Jewish friends believe that Elijah has to come before their Messiah comes, and we know that Elijah's already come in the form of John the Baptizer, came in the spirit of Elijah. So there's a little Bible study for you there. And one of them at once ran out and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, let's wait and see whether Elijah will come and save him. So we still have people that are waiting for Elijah to come. And then right after that, supposedly, the Messiah is going to come. Well, here's the deal. The Messiah already came. He died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right. Verse 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. So it's very important if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, know that no one finally ever caught up to Jesus. No one finally ever took his life. He gave up his life. He gave it up willingly. Why? For you and for me. He gave up his life for you. He gave up his life for me. He yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. Let me talk about this just for a second. So there has always been a curtain in the temple court that separated the outer court from the holiest of holies, where only a high priest could go behind once a year and pay an atonement for your sins. But since the veil is torn 60 feet high, 4 inches thick, in a veil that is so tough that oxen couldn't tear it apart. But Jesus, or God, from the top to the bottom split it. So now all those who believe and trust in Jesus can get into the holiest of holies. You no longer need a high priest. You have a high priest, and his name is Jesus Christ. Can I get a word from the Lord? Can I get a word from the people today? Hallelujah. So you don't need an intercessor. You don't need somebody to pray for you. You don't need a priest, or you don't need a bishop, or you don't need a nun, or you don't need a preacher, or you don't need your daddy to pray for you. You can go right into the holiest of holies because you've been blood bought by the Lamb, and his name is Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. And he's conquered the grave. And here's my fear, Carol. My fear is that if it were constantly going to men to intercede for us, we're putting a God before, a little g God before God. We have, you have, I have to accept and understand the free gift of salvation only comes from Jesus Christ. I'm trying to explain it today. And we have to get away from our religious mindset that Mary's going to do that for us, or our preacher or our priest or our bishops and all these things. That nobody Nobody can pay atonement for your sin problem. Nobody can go to God and get you redeemed. Only the blood of Jesus Christ and Him raised from the tomb 3 days later, I say. I say today, away from religion and into a relationship with Jesus. The tombs also were open. Listen to this. So, I mean, this kind of explains it. And if the preacher's crazy, that's fine. But the facts are still the facts. Let me read it in verse 52. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints. It says saints who had fallen asleep were raised. So there's finally a way that the saints can access into the throne room with God, Jehovah God. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can read it that He's led captives and set them free. And coming out of the tombs after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, that would be kind of freaky that they go into the holy city and you see your friend or whoever it was and go, hey, man, you've been dead for a while. Yeah, I finally got a way to get to heaven. Whoom! And they just vanish right before their eyes. Now, I'll ask you this question in the midst, and unfortunately, we are losing people to this pandemic. It's a truth, and it's a horrible thing. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus is Lord and Savior? So, God forbid something would happen to you today or a family member. Do you know how to get to heaven? Do you know the way? And I'll tell you, it's just through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 54 says, then a centurion, listen to this, so a hardened Roman centurion, and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake that took place. So there's an earthquake, there was darkness, the tombs are splitting open, rocks are splitting open, all these kind of things. And this Roman, hardened Roman centurion with the sword on his side, and he's got all the armor on, he's got the helmet on and everything. He's standing, listen to what he says. He says, truly this was the Son of God. Wouldn't you gulp right then and go, boom. Oh, my gosh, we really messed up. That really was Jesus that we killed. Here's the deal, dude. You guys are like the Keystone Cops. You can't kill God. My God's not dead. He's surely alive, I said this morning. Amen. You can't kill God. Satan can't kill God. The world can't kill God. People can't kill God. He willingly gave up His life for me and you. And I celebrate that today. Praise the Lord. Who would want to serve a God who somebody could kill? You can't kill Him. Hallelujah. And I thought about Mary Magdalene this morning because I think it was between me and my wife and our devotionals this morning, we were talking about Mary Magdalene. I think she might have wreck some people's theology because she was first at the cross and she's first at the tomb and all these things, and she's first. Why? Because she has been delivered from so much. She knows how much she owes the Lord and how grateful she is. And you know how grateful somebody is by the way they act and by the way they talk. It's very evident if somebody's grateful or not. You can tell if the child that you're raising is grateful or not by the way they act. Or by the way I act, or by the way you act, and by the way I speak, and the way I talk. I'm very grateful that Jesus Christ has raised me from death and sin. I'm grateful for it. I'm shouting about it. And you can't shut me up because I'm excited about it. Everybody's got a song to sing about Jesus. You need to sing it today. Praise the Lord. We'll be talking about it all day long. You ought to be talking about it all over the world. God is going to fix this thing. Say that. God's going to fix this thing. Praise the Lord. All right. So here we go with the Mary Magdalene. Verse 55. There also were many women there looking from a distance who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to Him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and Mary and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And we talked about them. They were the kind of the prideful kids. And it was evening, and there was a rich man from Arimathea. We know his name is Joseph, and we know he was rich, and we know that he was from the Sanhedrin. And I got to praise God for rich people. Praise God that he was able to buy this borrowed tomb. It was probably in property that was worth a lot of money. And that's what I want to say to you today. We don't need to vilify rich people. Rich people are wonderful. Some of the most wonderful people in the world are rich people. And some are in the middle class, and some are the poor people. They're all rich. You can't judge somebody how great of a person they are just because they're rich or poor or middle class. You can be great no matter how much money you got in your wallet. But let's quit vilifying rich people. Why is it all of a sudden in our country that everyone wants to vilify anybody that's successful? Isn't that how this country got built? Was on the success of people following the Lord? Isn't that why our forefathers came to the United States of America? So they could be free and express their religious beliefs and start a new country where people could do what they want to do in the name of Jesus? It's time to be rich, I say. It's time to be rich, not just in finances, but in our freedom, I say. And in our health, in our thought processes, in our physicalities. Praise the Lord, we live in America, I said, church. Praise the Lord, we live in America. Praise the Lord. Some of you guys understand what it's like to have a little bit of your freedom taken away right now. Come on, I need somebody to shout today. I love freedom. Say it, I love freedom. Praise the Lord, I love it. And we have had some of it taken away, if you will. We have a little bit. But I really believe it's for the betterment of society. And it's just a temporary thing, Greg. It's not going to last forever. You can't keep a nation free and keep its people down. The goal of America is to keep people safe. That's the job of our soldiers and our elected politicians, to keep the people safe and be the police for America first, and then we can help the whole world. But we got to get this right first. And it comes through following this, and I need somebody to talk back to me today. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to follow, and thank God for politicians that are following the Word of God, that want to get prayer back in school, want to get the Bibles back in school, want to get prayers back in the halls of Congress, want to get prayers back in the social circles, want to get prayers back in our local government, want to get the Bible, want to get Jesus everywhere. Glory to God for that. Hallelujah for people who are bold in Jesus today. Let's pray for our administration. Let's pray for our president. Let's pray for our local government. Let's pray for our first responders. Let's pray for our doctors. Let's pray for the grocery workers. Let's pray for the teachers. Praise God for the teachers. Those are the heroes. The people that go off every morning and do their job. God help us. Those are the heroes, the moms and dads that care about the welfare of their children and their grandchildren. Those are the heroes. And all the workers that are out there doing it right. And some of these people, they don't talk enough about all the people that are getting healed. There's so many people, Greg, that are getting healed out there. Can we talk about them? Can we just give a shout to the Lord for the wisdom that God has given all these wonderful doctors and these nurses? And all the governors all across the land who are doing it right. Praise God. I believe that God, don't you believe right now somehow that God has interceded in their life and touched their heart just a little bit? Maybe they're thinking just a little bit. Maybe they're just thinking, you know what? Maybe a little Jesus wouldn't hurt right now. Here's what I got to say. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose, America? What do we got to lose by turning it over to Jesus? Turn it over to Jesus and say, God, if you can fix this, forgive me of my sin, and then hand it to him and say, please deal with this because it's way beyond what we can figure out. Now we're on to something today, I believe. Ah, glory to God. Today's a day of celebration. Are you celebrating where you're at today, or are you in gloom and doom? I say open up the shades and open up the windows and shout for Jesus today. Hallelujah. Have a coming out party. Everybody's having a coming out party. It might as well be Christians. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed that he conquered the grave and conquered the cross. He conquered everywhere Jesus went. He was a conqueror. And here's the deal. His ministry only lasted a little over 3 years. Man, he got a lot of stuff done. I'm excited today, guys, about Jesus. So they wrapped him in a clean linen shroud, verse 60. And they laid it in his own new tomb. We know it's a borrowed tomb, which he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a great stone in the entrance of the tomb, went away, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, was sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day is the day after the day of preparation. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate, and they said, so here we go with the Keystone Cops again. So they're all huddled together. They're wringing their hands right now. They're going, oh my gosh, I think we really screwed up with it. We really botched this thing up. This guy really was Jesus Christ. Now, what are we going to do about this? We're going to have egg on our face on this deal. And they concoct a plan. They go, here's the deal. Let's, watch this. Let's seal the tomb. How'd you like to do that? You're in charge of, so you get a bunch of Keystone Cops there, and you're duct taping it, and you're sealing it, and then you place a guard there. And what do you tell the guard? Hey, you know what? If the Messiah comes out of the cave that he created and he rolls the stone away, I want you to jump on him. Give me a break. After he put an ear back on one of the soldiers, I'm out after that. I go, I ain't messing with this guy. Somebody ought to be laughing and high-fiving somebody here. Well, I'll read the story as it goes, but I kind of ad-libbed on that just a little. The next day after the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate, and they said, sir, we remember how the imposter said while he was still alive after 3 days, hold on for a second. Oh my gosh. Okay, sorry, I grabbed too many pages there. After three days, I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first. So they're still going with the fraud theory here. And you want me to tell you what a fraud is? A fraud is a prophet who says that he has the way to salvation and he's still lying in a grave. That's a false prophet. But here's the deal with Jesus. If you go to try to find Jesus in his body, you can see the tomb, but Jesus ain't there anymore. That's the God I want to serve. I want to serve a God that's alive. I want to serve a God that's alive. I want to serve a God that's alive. Not one that's still laying in the tomb. I don't know, put it on a scale. God that's still in the tomb or God that beat the grave? I'll go with the guy that beat the grave. Verse 65 said, Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you can. This to me sounds pretty hokey here. From Pilate's going, go make it as secure as you can. And by the way, take some Elmer's glue with you and seal off the crack around the rock. Maybe that'll help you out for just a little. Just make it as good as you can. What the heck? And that's just kind of like throwing stuff against the wall and see if you can get something to stick. And then by sealing the stone and setting a guard, now the Sabbath toward the dawn on the first day of the week, guess who's there? Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone and sat on it, and his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow, and the fear of the guards trembled, became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen, as he said. That's what the whole resurrection service is about. That's what the whole Easter celebration is about. That's what all the eggs are about. That's what the bunny's about. That's what everything's about. It's about Jesus conquering the grave for mine and your sin because he said he would. You go, well, Pastor Pat, I want to know what would happen if he wouldn't have conquered the grave. Then he would have been just like any other person who got hung on a cross. He would be like all the rest of the people who hung on the cross. And we know that Jesus is not like that. So this is the time where I'm going to ask you to wake up just a little bit, and I'll ask the praise team to come forward. And I wrote down a few things about the resurrection service that I think are going to bring you kind of probably touch your life here. So I'm gonna start reading them, and you tell me if this resonates with you this morning. So in this resurrection service, here it is. The last verse here in verse 20, chapter 28 says, "He is not here, for he has risen." So he marches in. Last Sunday he comes in and he rides into Jerusalem. If you've checked the text, Greg, when he goes in Jerusalem, he's crying. You say, why is that, Pastor Pell? Was he crying? Because the sin of mankind. And basically what I believe he's saying, he says, these people don't understand. They're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then some days or hours, however you look at it, they're saying, crucify, crucify. And then they take me. They think they finally got me. They think they finally, he knows all this. He knew this from birth. They got me cornered in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then one of my own disciples deceives me. And then betrays me with a kiss. And then they haul me off to a mock trial. And then they take me before a crowd again. Pilate finally figures out. He says, this guy's not guilty. He washes his hands of the deal. They beat me unmanlike, and then they haul me up a hill called Calvary. Say it with me, church, Calvary. Can you see it off in the distance? Over yonder. So weakened by the beating that he took for me and you, had to have somebody carry his cross for him up the hill. Then gets nailed on the cross, and people are ridiculing him. The people that are hanging next to him, out of two, only one says, remember me when you're in paradise. The other one's too proud and too boastful and too arrogant. And actually, quite frankly, had a nasty attitude, I believe. I think that's the problem with society today. I believe that, and I sum that up. Nasty attitudes. There ain't nothing in the whole wide world that's worse in a bigger turnoff than somebody's got a nasty attitude. Nasty. Ah, nothing's ever my way. You owe me something. Let me tell you. The world revolves around me. Don't you understand? Yeah, we understand. Jesus understands. You need to have an attitude adjustment. And the way you get your attitude adjustment is to allow Jesus Christ to come into your heart and adjust your heart, and then your heart will change your mind. And when your mind is changed, then your speech is different. You save your pride and your attitude and send that right back to hell where it belongs. Having a haughty attitude and a proud attitude has got us where we're at today in society. Oh, well, we're doing fine without you, God. We've redefined things, and we're giving sin pet names. It's not working. Well, we've soft-pedaled the gospel all through our churches so we don't hurt people's feelings, and we're filling up the church buildings. How's that working for you? Pastor Pat, what is it that we're supposed to do? You're supposed to get on your knees and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. And then find you a local church where the man of God is in the pulpit and he's preaching the truth of the gospel week in and week out. And not varying to the pressures of society. So because Jesus has conquered the tomb, He is the Messiah. Because Jesus conquered the tomb, the Bible is true. Because Jesus conquered the grave, there's hope for mankind. Because Jesus conquered the grave, there is salvation for the lost. Because Jesus conquered the tomb, there is healing for the sick. Because Jesus conquered the tomb, there's deliverance for the heavy laden. There's light at the end of the tunnel. If Jesus lives, we live also. Glory to God this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me pray for you today, friends. There's a lot of things that are canceled right now, but hope didn't get canceled. Faith didn't get canceled. Promises of the Bible didn't get canceled. There's hope in Jesus today. Let me pray for you. Father God, I want to lift up that one person that's out there that's watching this broadcast right now. Oh, dear friend, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, would you like to give your heart over to a Lord and Savior who can do something about your problem? Just say yes right now. Say yes. Say, Jesus, save my soul today. Save me, Jesus. Save me. Save me. And then help me live for you. I want you to be my Lord, and I want you to be my Savior. And right now, for receiving you into my heart, I call myself a born-again believer. And my new life starts today. In thy name of Jesus, we pray and we thank God today. Amen.